I'd like to read some from the book of Job, if you've got your Bibles. The 30th chapter of the book of Job, first verse. But now, they that are younger than I have me in derision, whose fathers I would have disdained to have set with the dogs of my flock. Yea, whereto might the strength of their hands profit me, in whom old age was perished, for want and famine they were solitary, fleeing into the wilderness in former time, desolate and waste, who cut up mallows by the bushes and juniper roots for their meats. They were driven forth from among men. They cried after them as after a thief, to dwell in the cliffs of the valley, in caves of the earth, and in the rocks among the bushes they brayed. Under the nettles they were gathered together. They were children of fools, yea, children of base men. They were viler than the earth. And now am I their song, yea, I am their byword. They abhor me, they flee far from me, and spare not to spit in my face, because he hath loosed my cord and afflicted me. They have also let loose the bridle before me. Upon my right hand rise the youth. They push away my feet. And they rise up against me the ways of their destruction. They mar my path. They set forward my calamity. They have no helper. They came upon me as a wide breaking in of waters. In the desolation they roll themselves upon me. Terrors are turned upon me. They pursue my soul as the wind, and my welfare passeth away as a cloud. And now my soul is poured out upon me. The days of affliction have taken hold upon me. My bones are pierced in me in the night season, and my sinews take no rest. By the great force of my disease is my garment changed. It bindeth me about as the collar of my coat. He hath cast me into the mire, and I am become like dust and ashes. I cry unto thee, and thou dost not hear me. I stand up, and thou regardest me not. Thou art become cruel to me. With thy strong hand thou opposest thyself against me. Thou liftest me up to the wind. Thou causest me to ride upon it, and dissolvest my substance. For I know that thou wilt bring me to death, and to the house appointed for all living. Howbeit he will not stretch out his hand to the grave, though they cry in his destruction. Did not I weep for him that was in trouble? Was not my soul grieved for the poor? When I looked for good, then evil came unto me. And when I waited for light, there came darkness. My bowels bawled and rested not. The days of affliction prevented me. I went mourning without the sun. I stood up and I cried in the congregation. I am a brother to dragons and a companion to owls. My skin is black upon me, and my bones are burned with heat. My harp also is turned to mourning, and my organ into the voice of them that weep. I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? For what portion of God is there from above? And what inheritance of the Almighty from on high? Is not destruction to the wicked and a strange punishment to the workers of iniquity? Doth not he see my ways and count all my steps? If I have walked with vanity, or if my foot hath hasted to deceit, let me be weighed in an even balance, that God may know mine integrity. If my step hath turned out of the way, and mine heart walked after mine eyes, and if any blot hath cleaved to mine hands, then let me sow and let another eat. Yea, let my offspring be rooted out. If mine heart have been deceived by woman, or if I have laid wait at my neighbor's door, then let my wife grind unto another, and let others bow down upon her. For this is a heinous crime. Yea, it is an iniquity to be punished by the judges. For it is a fire that consumeth to destruction, and would root out all mine increase. If I did despise the cause of my manservant or of my maidservant when they contended with me, what then shall I do when God riseth up, and when he visiteth, what shall I answer him? Did not he that made me in the womb make him? And did not one fashion us in the womb? If I have withheld the poor from their desire, or have caused the eyes of the widow to fail, or have eaten my morsel myself alone, and the fatherless hath not eaten thereof, For from my youth he was brought up with me as with a father. And I have guided her from my mother's womb. If I have seen any perish for want of clothing, or any poor without covering, if his loins have not blessed me, and if he were not warm with the fleece of my sheep, I have lifted up my hand against the fatherless. When I saw my help in the gate, then let mine arm fall from my shoulder blade, and mine arm be broken from the bone. For destruction from God was a terror to me, and by reason of his highness I could not endure. If I have made gold my hope, or have said to the fine gold, thou art my confidence, if I have rejoiced because my wealth was great, and because mine hand hath gotten much, if I beheld the sun when it shined, or the moon walking in brightness, and my heart hath been secretly enticed, or my mouth has kissed my hand, this also were iniquity to be punished by the judge, for I should have denied the God that is above. If I rejoiced at the destruction of him that hated me, or lifted up myself when evil found him, neither have I suffered my mouth to sin by wishing a curse to his soul. If the men of my tabernacle said not all that we had of his flesh, we cannot be satisfied. The stranger did not lodge in the street, but I opened my doors to the travelers. If I covered my transgressions as Adam, by hiding mine iniquity in my bosom, did I fear a great multitude, or did the contempt of families terrify me, that I kept silent and went not out of the door? Or that one would hear me, behold, my desire is that the Almighty would answer me, and that mine adversary had written a book. Surely I would take it upon my shoulder and bind it as a crown to me. I would declare unto him the number of my steps. As a prince would I go near unto him. If my land cried against me, or that the forest likewise thereof complained, if I have eaten the fruits thereof without money, or have caused the owners thereof to lose their life, let thistles grow instead of wheat, and cockles instead of barley. You know, this is the writings of Job, and it's really something. And I say with Job these same things. If I have done these things, then I feel the same way that Job feels. But I have tried from the best of my ability, from the bottom of my heart, to do everything that Job mentioned here that was right. I've tried my best to withhold my heart in the same manner that he did, and with God. Nevertheless, through all of that, with all that we do or whatever we say, when we have done the very best that we can, and we have done all that we can, we are altogether vanity. We are altogether nothing, and we are still dependent upon one righteousness, and that is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is no other righteousness but the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I still believe that we should be perfect in the sight of God, that we should do exactly perfect before God in every way. But when we have finished, that we should all together realize that there is but one righteousness, and that is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Though all of these things that Job spoke of, I have tried diligently to do, to in every way possible, I have tried to do them. But still, my righteousness is of God. For I find myself without any righteousness or any ability of my own that I might be able to answer God. And so Job found himself in the very same condition. You know, I wish that today that we as a people, the ministry and the people together, could come in one unit and realize that everything is God, that everything belongs to God, and that we are but just feeble creatures that are here in this world waiting for our appointment with death, unless God hath mercy on us. See, if we could come to a place to realize that we need God. We need God. God doesn't need us, but we need God. Now you say, Brother Pike, God needs us. God doesn't need us. The Bible teaches that if we withhold our praise, God will cause the rocks to cry out praise to him. God could make millions of people. He could kill everybody in the world like he did in the days of Noah. and make millions of people. So he doesn't need us, but we need God. But you know, there is a place to where we can come to in Christ. There is a place to where we can get in the Lord, to where we become a God, to where we become a son of God, to where we become the body of the Almighty God, and then we can never die. Then we can never be destroyed. Then we can never pass away. Then we can never want again. We can never have problems again. But beloved friend, we've got to keep moving in that direction until we get to that place. Paul, out of all that Paul done, and he done great and mighty things, had the revelation of the Lord, done all kind of great and mighty things, suffered many things for Christ's sake. But you find him making the statement that I press forward to the prize and the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus, which he said was the resurrection of the dead. He said, not that I have obtained unto it, neither do I say that I've already apprehended that. He said, but this I do. I press forward toward those things. I press forward toward those things, forgetting that which is behind. I press forward toward the prize and the mark of the high calling in Jesus Christ, that I might obtain unto the resurrection of the dead. You love Jesus? That's what we ought to do, is realize that we can't just say that we have obtained that we're desiring to obtain, but we need to keep pressing, we need to keep praying, we need to keep trying to get on with God. How many times have I said this, that we should press forward to the prize and the mark of the high calling in Jesus Christ? How many times have I said this? See, when we get in a complacent condition, when we get to the place to where we feel like that we are predestinated, that we belong to God, as some better said, we are already sealed in, we've already got born again, we don't have to worry. Then when we do that, that is when we get careless. We get careless. We get unconcerned. We don't make any efforts to fast. We don't make any efforts to pray. We don't make any efforts to deny our own selves and to yield up our own stubborn, rebellious will and way, and to look at ourselves and say, boy, you're not doing near as good as you ought to. We don't make any effort to try to give a little more to God or sacrifice a little more for God or make a little greater effort for God. But brother, when we realize that we have to keep pressing, Paul said, not that I have yet obtained unto the resurrection of the dead, but this I do, I forget those things that are behind. I count all of my learning as dung. I'm pressing forward to the prize and the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus, which is the resurrection of the dead, that I might obtain unto the resurrection of the dead. I don't say that I've already done it, he said, but this I tell you, to hold fast to your crown. Don't let anybody take it. Hold your faith, Paul said, for you must hold your faith steadfast even unto the end. You must have that faith and hold that faith right on down to the end. If you cast away your faith, you are in trouble. For the Bible said, cast not away thy faith, which hath great recompense of reward. You don't want to cast away your faith. You want to hold it. The Bible said, he that endureth to the end, the same shall obtain unto the resurrection of the dead. Is that right? The same shall be saved. If I continue to the end, then I shall be saved. I can say predestinated all I want to say predestinated, but if I turn aside from the righteousness of God, I am going to hell. I am going into the lake of fire. You say, but Brother Pike, if you're one of those predestinated for God, you couldn't do that. But the Bible tells me that if I do righteously for many long years, and then if I turn and do wickedly, that all of my righteousness shall not be remembered that I have done, but in my sins I shall die. It doesn't matter how many years you live for God. It doesn't matter how long you go with God. It doesn't matter how many great things you do for God. When you turn aside from following God, every bit of that is lost. Somebody say amen. I'm preaching the Bible. He said, if you do righteously and then turn and do wickedly, all of your righteousness shall not be remembered. In your sins ye shall die. If a man do wickedly, and if that man does evil, the Bible said if he'll turn from his evil way, God will save him. For he said, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. I would that the wicked repent of their sins. I would that all men come to repentance. God wants all men to repent. All men to come to repentance, to confess their sins, to forsake their sins, that God might save them. And he said, if that man will turn away from his sins, if that woman will turn away from her sins, and if she will come to God, he said, I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive. In their righteousness they shall live. All of their sins that they have committed shall not be remembered. Now, that's the way that I understand the Bible. That's the way that God gives it to us. When you preach the word, that's the way it is. If you're living right today and you're not living right tomorrow, you're on your way to hell. Somebody say amen. Amen. Brother, we've got to live right every day. Every day. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, what are you going to do about them predestinated people? I'm going to go to heaven with them predestinated people. Why you say that? Because them predestinated people are going to live right every day. Every day. They're going to live right. Every day. They're going to live right. Them predestinated people, every day of the week until the coming of the Lord Jesus, they're going to live right. Them that leave us and go out yonder and do these things of the world, the Bible said if they had been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. Said, but they went out from us that it might be made manifest they were never of us. Somebody say amen. I said, the Bible said they never was of us to start with. If they'd have been right, they'd have never went out there to start with. That's why a lot of times when I feel spirits on men and women and on ministers and evangelists, and I tell some of you brethren, confidential, some of you I can't tell nothing. Why, you run your mouth so much, you got to go here, there, everywhere. You're just a big tail bearer. But the ones I can confide in, a lot of times I tell you about spirits that's on evangelists that comes through, or things that's happening to certain people. I say, now if you'll watch, a certain thing's going to happen because God has revealed this to me. And then later you see that evangelist go down. You see this thing happen. I've had my own wife to chide with me. She didn't believe that. But she found out it happened just exactly like I said it would happen. Because God said it would happen. And she finally got to the place to where she said, well, I'll just be honest with you. I don't know. I just don't know. You know, that's the way we ought to be. If we're not talking with God, we don't know. We ought to say we don't know. We ought to quit a guessing game of getting up here. Evangelists get up here and they got to run people through like a herd of cattle and slap them on the head and shove them down here like a bunch of showboys that's waiting. It looks like they're coming up like a bunch of showboys, that every one of them thinks they're a movie star and they're waiting for their day on television and where they're going to get their first appearance before the public. But that's not what God is looking for. God is looking for somebody that loves Jesus. That's interested in winning souls, not a bunch of playboys and a bunch of silly preachers. But God is wanting somebody that will get out here and be interested in winning souls and helping establish the kingdom of God in the earth. Praise God. We've got a bunch of showboys that's selling everything from shoestrings to holy water. And they're just driving people crazy. People don't know which way to go anymore. I heard somebody say the other day, said, I listen to the big gun of Dixie. Said, I hear so many preachers on there, said, I can't tell nothing about nothing no more. Said, it's just a big mixed up mess. So I can't understand it. But that's the way it is. What is it? It's a bunch of showboys that's caused all of it. What we need is people that love God. God is not looking for somebody that wants a Cadillac and wants a Big Ten and wants to get in the movies. God is looking for somebody that wants to fast, pray, and preach the gospel and make his wife dress like a lady. Somebody say, I love Jesus. And if he can't make her dress like a lady, he ain't got no business in the pulpit to start with, because he ain't fit to preach. I have a number of them coming through here that can't do it. Now, if you don't preach holiness, if you don't believe in holiness, you ain't got nothing. Because God is the spirit of holiness. Everything that you preach has to be with holiness. If it ain't holiness, it's hell. I don't care what you preach. Now, I believe in my heart that this year is going to be a great ingathering. I believe that God's going to do something. But folks, it's going to be holiness. It's going to be the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's going to be men that's not out here with a woman one day and back in the pulpit the next day. Amen. It's going to be somebody that's living holy and clean and godly and upright. Now God will give you Cadillacs and God will give you tents and God will give you all kinds of things. As a matter of fact, I've given away Lincolns and Cadillacs and Chryslers and everything else, trying to give them away so I could get me a Ford or get me a Chevrolet. And I always wind up with a Cadillac, a Lincoln or something. It always comes back because God wanted me to have it. But I certainly didn't go looking for it. Now, I want to preach the gospel. I'm not interested in the things of the world. When we have the love of the world in us, the love of the Father is not there. When you got the love of the flesh in your heart, the love of God, the love of spiritual things is not there. We need to be right with God in our heart. If we intend to make the translation, it's going to have to start with the heart. Faith works inside of the heart. And if you ever make the translation, you're going to have to get a hold of your heart and straighten your heart out. Somebody said, but God done this for me. I don't care what God done for you. That ain't got nothing to do with it. It's holiness or hell. Amen. You might have raised the dead, but it's holiness or hell. If you don't live holy, you're going to go to hell. Somebody said, but if I had done great things, it ain't got nothing to do with it. Balaam come over there and prophesied and done great things. And the Bible said, whatever he said, come to pass. Somebody say amen. Amen. The Bible said, whoever he cursed was cursed. Whoever he blessed was blessed. Somebody say amen. Amen. But the Bible said he loved the wages of unrighteousness and was in it for money. And God had him killed. Isn't that right? Saul, a great king, went up to Ramoth Gilead, prophesied, and the Spirit came upon him. But he had murder in his heart. God had him killed. Is that right? Brother, it's holiness or it is hell. We're going to have to live right. If a bunch of those preachers would get off of the radio and God had some preachers on the radio that would preach holiness or hell, we'd have a move of God that would shake the entire world. But as long as we got people selling holy water and shoestrings, we're never going to get anywhere. And I notice a lot of them is beginning to come off now. See, we need somebody that's got a backbone for God, that's got a backbone like a saw log, that's not some jellyfish, feminine, silly woman man, you know, that'd rather be around a bunch of women than to be around a bunch of men. We need somebody like Elijah and somebody like Moses and somebody like Abraham that's got their mind somewhere instead of in the slop bucket. Somebody say amen. Glory to God, you can't even leave anymore. You can't even leave your house. You can't even go to work on the job. You can't leave your wife at a washateria. You can't leave her at a store without some person that's slopping in the slop bucket coming along, wanting to steal her virtues and cause her to be a harlot. But now I'll tell you one thing, brother. God is going to burn the fields. He's going to burn the fields of them. You wait and see. God hates the whoremonger. God hates the whore. God hates the goat. God hates everything that reminds him of evil. When I say goat, I'm talking about the kind of goat that he speaks of. You know, an old goat will lead people to the slaughter. They use a goat to lead a bunch of sheep to the slaughter, and then the old goat, he'll jump the fence, and he'll leave the rest of them there to be slaughtered. The Bible said the hireling will flee when the wolf comes, but the good shepherd will give his life for the sheep. Now, I see the sufferings of Job. I see the things that he went through with. The Lord Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Is God going to take a perfect man, one that is perfect? The Bible said he was a perfect man, and just literally put him through the fire, and then put me over here to eat ice cream and cake and to have parties and be on television? God isn't going to do that. God put him through the fire. God has put me through the fire. And the Bible said every son that cometh to God, he scourgeth him first. If you are a son of God, you're going by the whipping post. And if you ain't going by the whipping post, you're not a son of God. You're a bastard child. Every son of God's going by the whipping post. So then you're going to get a good lashing. You're not going to have ice cream and cake all the time. You're not going to live on carpet floors all the time. You're not going to have the good things of life all the time. You're going to have it rough. These evangelists ain't worth 15 cents that have all the plush things of life all down through their life. There's something that's been hatched out like you'd hatch a chick out of an incubator. Come out of some college, some seminary, some mover. Somebody put them forth for money purposes, some movement, and they ain't worth 15 cents. Men that, as I've said a number of times, that went with holes in their shoes, done without, didn't have nothing to eat, built great, great churches, built great movements. God done great things, and thousands of people came in, and they built great movements. And now a bunch of silly college professors and whatever's got into the ministry because they've seen that money pooled and they want to get that dollar. And they've set them up a college and they've converted it over. And the Philistines have come together and they've taken the Ark of the Covenant. And they've got it. And they're trying to do everything from count beads to sell holy water to worship it. And they're winding up with diseases and everything else. And God's killing them out like flies. When the Philistines got a hold of that thing down there, the Bible said the more they tried to worship it, the more they tried to be religious down there, the more God killed them. He just went through there and slew them. And God's just killing them by the thousand. They were better off before they ever got religious. Did you know that? People were better off when they left religion alone. But everybody's got a religion now. You can be Baptist, just ABC, just, you know, anywhere in the alphabets. Pick up just one thing, it'll be some kind of religion. Did you know that? Just about everything from Masons to Woodmans of the world. Everybody's got a religion. And the devil is just rampant. There's diseases everywhere. There's wrecks everywhere. There's tornadoes. There's heartaches. There's sorrows. Why? Because of religion. All because of religion. He said, I would that you were cold so I wouldn't have to spew you out of my mouth. If you're not going to get hot. Isn't that right? I would that you were cold so I don't have to spew you out of my mouth. If you're not going to get hot. For I would that you were hot or cold. I need somebody to get in and go for God. Somebody to live right and quit this foolishness. Or I need you to get back out in the world and be a drunkard and be a harlot. So everybody that sees you will know that you're a devil and you won't be getting in the way of them that's trying to find the light of God and the kingdom of God. You know, take an old drunkard, take an old harlot. They're out yonder in the world. They're nothing but like an old slut out there. Just a drinking and a chewing and a cutting up. And everybody knows that they're nothing but a devil. They don't get in the way of the church. But when Jesus came, here come the Pharisees, here come the scribes, here come all them people. And it was nothing but a bunch of hypocrites. They got in the church and Jesus got so enraged, so upset, until he finally went there and he just turned the tables over. He took the whip and he began to pop the whip and he drove them out and said, my Father's house is supposed to be a house of prayer. You made it a den of devils and thieves, Jesus said. The church today is nothing but a place of unclean spirits, a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Now, I'm not talking about the true church, but the church world. They have pressed the Christians. They have made fun of the real holy women until the holy women are afraid to wear long dresses anymore. They keep raising their dress 1 inch and raising it another and another until they've got the pedal pushes and they've got the mini skirts, and he ripped them down the front and ripped them out here and ripped them down the side until the church women look like a bunch of prostitutes. And if they don't do that, they try to melt them down and press them in the upper part of the body, the lower part of the body, till it looks like they've been put in a furnace somewhere and melted to form. And the men are just as bad. They got to have a bunch of, got to put them on some jeans or put them on something that just hugs around their body so until they look like they've been feeding out of the slop bucket too. You know, I just can't get no words to come out but them. When it gets down to the slop bucket, that's all that'll come out is a slop bucket. Jesus said, the swine, the pig, goes back to the wallowing in the mire. and the dog goes back to the vomit. I'm glad that he was a country boy. He just used plain old English. I understand that real good. He said the pig goes back to the slop hole. Like I said, I've been raised up in the country, and I know what it is to see them bubble in the slop, because when I was a little boy, a lot of times I had to go feed them. And they just had the biggest time lapping it. It didn't bother them a bit. That's the way folks are. They'll sit around and say something and talk about something, and it's horrible. The thing that come out of me, you look at it, you say, dear God, can that person, is that coming out of that human being? That person said that. Did that actually come out of a human being that I've been around with here? And it's been around on the campground? I say, yep, it come out. And I say, boy, I can't hardly stand that. I got to get away from here. Isn't that right? But then what makes it so bad, instead of saying, I'm sorry, my stomach's upset, they'll sit around and get somebody else to lap with them, and they'll begin to hash it over and lap it. I said, I got to get out of here. Somebody said, Brother Pike, that sounds awful. It is awful. It's awful. It's even worse when you're helping lap it. That's worse. But now, here's the thing. If you are a son of God, you won't be helping lap it. So it's not going to be bad to the dogs. They like it. Every man to his own taste. Wouldn't you say that? All right. So then Job was put through the mill. What we need is preachers. God is going to start another move. Now, I don't know. I don't have time to go into this morning. I never do. But I'm going to say this much. When God raised up the voice of healing, God raised up a great man by the name of William Branham, and out of that came a great trunk. Out of that came a great tree. Out of that came many branches. Out of that came great men like Oral Roberts and Billy Graham sprang up after the voice of healing came into effect. And then came men like Grant, W.V. Grant, and Mars Cyrillon, and hundreds of people sprang up from that great move. God did that. Gordon Lindsay, some of the others got around the ministry of Brother Branham. Out of that came a great move, a great tree. That great tree spread out. And God done a great thing. All right, here come that great tree. That was a seed planted. God put a man in the earth. There was a message. There was a ministry. Out of that came a great tree. From that, here come all kind of denominations. It has been one denomination over in Hot Springs, Arkansas, and one over here in Missouri, and one over here in another place, and another place. And they just everywhere, the college boys and the pretty boys and the movie stars and everybody else has gotten into it. Everybody's gotten into it. The president himself, he curses out of one side of his mouth and he praises Jesus out of the other side. And it ain't just the president. It's all kind of movie stars and everybody. Everybody's religious. Heard the other day that the leading evangelist of the world, Protestant world, was seen to go over to the Pope and bow down before him. Bow down before him. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine something like that? The very powers that literally slaughtered millions of people. Over 60 million people. And then the leading Protestant evangelist that's supposed to be the one that represents the rebellion against it. Whereas the word Protestant comes from protesting against. When Martin Luther withstood the man, the Pope of Rome, withstood the Council of Worms, withstood the leaders and started the Protestant movement. Because of their evils. And now the leading evangelist of today in America, what does he do? He goes over there and praises the man. Don't you know that religion is at an end? Don't you know that America has seen her day? Don't you know that it's over for America? When men like Billy James Hargis write a letter, and in that letter they say communists has won out. Billy James said he lost. Said communists won out. Said America don't care. Said putting that on the front of a letter. Everybody could see it. You know why that God is allowing that? Because we made a statement not too long ago that communists had already taken this country, and you know we said it. And I said, God has changed that government over and it's not there anymore. Why didn't Billy James Hargis do it before then? Why did he wait till after all of this transpired to do it? For many years he didn't. Somebody said, well, it's coincidental. It is. It's heavenly coincidental. See what it is. God wants the world to know that they're gone. He's done made the change. Everything has gone through the transition. Everything is right in its place. And now God is making an expose. Men with a voice like Billy James Hargis, thousands upon thousands of letters will go out saying that communists has won. Think how that will affect people. And then men like Billy Graham getting up making a statement. They're apologizing, saying that they have misjudged communism. Can you imagine things like that? Well, there's one thing about it, folks. We that are Christians and we that love God, we better start pressing in closer. We better get out of the show business. We better get out everything and get down to business with God. We better do something for Christ or we're going to be left in the cold. And the Bible said, when you yourself see that you've been turned out of the kingdom of God, and people from the east and the west and the north and the south and thousands of others come and sit down in the kingdom with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, he said, there'll be weeping and mourning, there'll be wailing, there'll be gnashing of teeth. When you yourself are cast out of the kingdom or turned away from the kingdom and turned into the fire. So what we need to do is get together, not the way the world is getting together in some great charismatic move, not getting together in a full gospel fellowship, a full gospel men's fellowship to feed our bellies. Somebody say amen. Amen. Somebody said, look at them full gospel businessmen. I know I preach for them. They get together and they feed their bellies. Somebody say amen. Amen. I said they get together and they feed their bellies. That's what they do. Then when they get together, if anything is really going to bring God into the matter, they leave it off. If anything can promote their cause or lift it up, then they get together. Say, you don't know. Yes, I do know. Glory to God. That's one thing I thank God for. He processed me before he ever put me here. I've been there with all of them. I know their attitude, I know what they're doing, and I know their plans. Just like Pat Boone over yonder, Pat could have come out and been a real Christian. But instead of doing it, what did he do? He went back to the hog pen with the rest of them. Right. Somebody say amen. Amen. God wants a people that's clean, a people that's holy, a people that's righteous, a people that's straightforward. He wants somebody that he can count on that's going to have the spirit of holiness. Somebody that's going to lift up their voice and cry out against evil. Somebody said, well, you'll never find me preaching doctrine. I know you won't. A hypocrite ain't never going to do it. That's all you need is a hypocrite that won't preach doctrine. I've had them to come here. You'll never find me preaching doctrine. I think, no, you hypocrite, you're not going to do it because you're afraid it'll hurt your meal ticket. If I don't preach any doctrine, I can have you and everybody else. And if I don't preach against women preachers, I can have women drooling over me. Everybody will run up and I can say, yay, sister, God said a great blessing is in store for you. Get up here and show yourself off and the men will shout and dance. Somebody say amen. Amen. Say, Brother Pike, you sound out of sauce. It does sound a little out of sauce, don't it? I guess that's because it is out of sauce. Real out of sauce in the sight of God. You lay your hands on some woman and she shouts and she hollers and she runs and she jumps and she screams. But I want you to know something. When you get through with your prophesying and you get through with talking to her, she still ain't called to the gospel. She still isn't called to preach. She still wasn't told of God to do the things that she'd done. Brother, you don't like what I'm saying right here, do you? You know why? Because you're so intellectual. You almost lost your soul from being intellectual. I'm not trying to be cute. If I was trying to be cute, I wouldn't have had enough discernment to know what your thinking was. Because the Bible said God looketh on the heart. All I'd have been able to do was seen the outside. That's why you've never got anywhere. You're always complaining about God won't do this and God won't do that. And God uses everybody else. That's the reason. Because you think you're so important. And you think you really know so much. And you got yourself in a rut. Somebody say amen.
Amen. Praise God.
All right. So then when they get through prophesying, when they get through saying these things, when they get through telling women these things, it's still not God. God still hasn't called them to the ministry. And usually is the rule, the same man that prophesies over them and the same one that goes along with them, as a rule, that same person will be a whoremonger when they're found out. You love Jesus? This don't sound too interesting to a preacher sitting out there either, because he don't like what I'm doing because it's tearing up his Playboy playhouse. So he tries to act like it's not interesting him. It's doing more than interesting you. It's tearing you all to pieces. The Spirit shows that you're tore all to pieces over it. You need to be. When we quit trying to be pretty boys and start being preachers and telling the truth, we'll get somewhere with God. All right, so then you love Jesus. God doesn't call women to preach. God doesn't call women to preach. You might say, well, you could say it a little bit different, Brother Pike. I don't know of any other way to say it. That's the way it is. When the prophet got upset back there and he said, if it wasn't for God, I wouldn't even speak to you. He told him, he said, if it wasn't for God, I wouldn't even speak to you. I tell you right now, if it wasn't for God, he wouldn't even speak to any of us. Did you know that? I'm talking about the ministry. The Holy Ghost. He wouldn't speak to any of us. If it wasn't for God, if it wasn't for Calvary, he wouldn't speak to any of us. It's by the blood that the Holy Ghost will even speak to me or speak to you. But there's one thing about it. God does speak to us. God is for us, but God wants us to tell the truth. God wants us to move the corruption out of the church. Folks, little Bethlehem has too much corruption in it, too much evil in it. And I'm not a part of it. I don't want to be a part of it. I'm against it. It's ugly to me. I said this the other day, I'll say it again. When people do evil, they need to confess their wrong. They need to get right with God. And when people do wrong and they still want to carry on their operation and their position, I am not with them in heart. I am not for them in heart. Because it isn't right. The Bible says that when a person is going to live for God, that God will use them. That when a person is going to live for the devil, that God will reject him. Is that right? And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Get away from it. Get away from it. Now, you might not find me kicking any buckets over because you didn't put enough $20 bills in it. You might not find me up here saying, yay, thus saith the Lord God, showed me there's 520s out there. But you will hear me saying some other things. If you don't believe it, you just stick around and see. You say, Brother Pike, don't you believe God does that? I definitely do not believe God's in it. I definitely do not believe God's in it. Had a man to get up one time on my platform and do that. I told him after service, I said, don't you never do that no more. You show me one time where Jesus ever done that. You show me one time where the prophets ever done that. You show me where Peter, James, and John ever done it. God didn't do that. God ain't in this business of having healing lines and slapping women down and putting your hands all over them and running them through like a bunch of cattle either. God ain't in that either. God is in the truth. God is in virtue. God is in holiness. God is in everything decently and in order. God is in standing. Now, I might not turn over any tables and I might not pop a whip. I might not come in here and slap you on the head. But there's one thing about it. I believe in the truth. I believe in the truth. And I believe that we need to walk in the truth. And if we're going to keep little Bethlehem straight and keep little Bethlehem clean, we're going to have to walk upright before God. God put Job through the fire. Job hadn't done anything. Job was not a bad man. Job was a holy man. Job was a clean man. God even said to the devil, said, have you considered my servant Job? Said he's a perfect man. He hadn't done anything. But yet God put him through the fire. Isn't that right? Jesus hadn't done anything, but the Bible said it pleased God to bruise him. And brethren, let me tell you, it pleases God to bruise us. Did you know that? It pleases God to chasten us. It pleases God that we should be killed all the day long, accounting for a sheep to the slaughter. Somebody said, oh, bless God, that ain't the kind of ministry I'm looking for. No, that's why the Bible said the labors are few. Not the show boys and the playboys, but I'm talking about the laborers. I'm talking about the ministry. Somebody said, well, they ain't the kind of church I'm looking for. That's why the Bible said, fear not, little flock. It is thy Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom. Like Bill said the other day, said Brother Pike, said some of these fellas, they're all waiting to see if the big evangelist and whatever is going to come to this. He said, I don't believe God wants them to come to this. He said, I believe they've had their minister and they've done their thing. Said, when all of them come to it, we're going to accept it. You know, I've thought about that a lot of times, Bill. They're not going to come to this. They got too much at stake. Those big denominational movements, some of those ministers, they got too much at stake. Too much money, too much prestige, too much pride, too much changing around. Have to stand up and apologize like a minister over here in the Carolinas that stood and prophesied over women and told them they were called to preach and all these things and swept across the land. And when God got a hold of his heart, he went back and he stood up in the church. He said, for Christ's sake, he said, forgive me, folks. He said, I come here and prophesied in your church and told you that women was called to preach. And I laid my hands on you and an evangelist under the tent all around. He said, God didn't tell me that. Another one down in Macon, Georgia, done the same thing, traveled across the country with Allie Taylor, went and prophesied here and there and done all these things and whatever. And then finally had to go back and stand up right there in her presence and the others and her not knowing what he was going to do. And said, I made a mistake. They had to move the church. That was a big church. But when he got down there testifying like that, they changed their church and went to another city, another state, because they knew what he had done. Folks, I'm talking about the truth. I'm talking about the truth. I praise God for one thing. I might not have been looking like a zippity-doo-dah. You know, I might not have been looking like a pretty boy and a show boy. But it's one thing about it. I thank God that what I have said down through the years, I haven't had to backtrack, go back and undo it and rearrange it and go back over it and make a mess out of it and say, well, it didn't. I'm glad to God I didn't have to do that. It isn't because I'm smart. It isn't because I'm some special person. But it's because I love Christ. I love the Lord. I'm sincere with God. And the Lord was kind enough to watch after me and keep my foot out of it. And keep me from getting into those kind of fix. We need to live right, folks. How many believe we ought to live right?
Amen.
We need to do right. Now, I've been preaching to you all the morning. I don't guess I have to preach to you long this morning because I didn't preach to you all morning. But some of you men here, now you listen at me. Some of you are going to get your foot into it with a woman. Now you listen at me. I'm telling you because I done picked it up on you. I keep trying to tell you, no, no, they say, no, couldn't be them. But you watch and see. It's just like when that evangelist came through Macon, Georgia. The man had been one of the cleanest, straightest men I have ever known in my life. And that's the truth, so help me God. But he wouldn't listen. When I told some of the brethren, I said, God revealed to me that a woman's going to hang her fangs into him. And when she does, it's going to disgrace him and tear him down. Then he'll come to the truth after that. And he did. She did. She hung her evil fangs into him and the poison filled his body. He become a disgrace in the sight of the people. And then she proceeded to sign sworn affidavits against him. It was the devil that had it planned all the time. But he wouldn't listen until he went down to the hog pen. He wouldn't listen. Some of you are going to do the same thing if you don't listen. Folks, you can't take fire to your bosom without getting burned. Did you know that? You women, some of you women, you can't come in here cuddling somebody's husband in your heart and in your mind. You can't come in here, mister, or some of you men, you can't come in here cuddling somebody's wife in your heart. And the woman can't do that with a husband. Did you know that? Can't come in here take a man into her mind, into her heart. She can't do that. She can't come in here. If she does, she's a whore. If he does, he's a whoremonger. The Bible said you look on a woman to lust after, you've committed adultery with her already in your heart. So you can't do that. You can't dress in form-fitting clothes and make your body protruding and bulging, you men or women. You can't do that and still be a Christian. You are a whoremonger or you are a whore. And you'll be turned into a lake of fire. You can't stand before the mirrors and everything trying to make yourself look cute so that you can come to church to where everybody can see you and lust after you. You are an evil one when you do that. You are supposed to be preparing your heart in holiness, in righteousness, in the glory of God, in pureness. And when you come to the house of God, the Bible said, let it be the inward adorning of the hidden man of the heart in a meek spirit. And I tell you something, if a man is a real man of God, if a woman is a real woman of God, she isn't going to do that. And if a preacher is a real man of God, when the woman or man comes in, he's going to pick that devil up on him just like that. Just like that. All right. I keep telling you, I've told many a people from this sacred desk, I've told many, many men, many women, today they're whole among us. Today their reputation is ruined. Today they are disgraced because they wouldn't listen. And I tell you something, when you do wrong like that, you don't just get you a little something that'll blow over. The Bible said when David done wrong, he got himself a blot. It was never marked out. Never as long as he lived. Never. The sword never departed from his house. It was one death right after another, one sorrow right after another. Now, I might say, well, I wouldn't do that. Some of you have already done it. You've sat and lusted after one another. You've already done it. Some of them that's hearing my voice right now has already done it, lusted after one another and walked up and down the streets in their evil form of dressing and up and down the beaches. In their evil form of dressing until today in God's book, they are a prostitute and they are whoremongers. Jesus said a wicked, a sinful, and adulterous generation. Marry one time, two times, three times, lusting after each other all the time. Said he rained fire and brimstone down upon them. Perverts, 75,000, the police said, gathered in front of the White House. The end of the world. The man burned in his lust, leaving the natural use of the woman. Burned in her lust, man with man, working that which is unseemly. And the woman doing the same thing. The Bible said receiving in within themselves that just recompense reward from God, inasmuch as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Somebody said, but I believe in God. I'm sure that all those perverts believe in God too. As a matter of fact, one of them made the statement, said, praise God, he knows that I'm gay. Or she did, one of them. Said, the Lord knows it. The Lord knows it, and the Lord will send him to hell for it or her to hell for it. He certainly does know it. Oh, but let me tell you something. You say, well, I believe in God, Brother Pike. Let me tell you something. Just saying I believe in God, I belong to little Bethlehem, I come to church, that ain't enough. When it said they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, it meant they did not like the thoughts of God, the ways of God, the word of God, the doings of God, the outlined way of living in holiness according to godliness. God is the word, and God is the spirit of holiness, the Bible said. And God is the spirit of truth. They did not like to retain the truth because they had not a love for the truth. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. They were reprobate to every good work. A reprobate mind. The Bible said he gave them over to that mind to think like they wanted to reason like they wanted to do like they want to. And you know what they're doing? Why, they believe God's with them. They have a reprobate mind. They do anything they want to. They say we're poor, helpless creatures. God, he understands. God doesn't understand. God doesn't understand when you're not concerned about the house of God. God doesn't understand when you won't work with the brotherhood. God doesn't understand when you spew and you fuss and you find fault and you do all of these things. God doesn't understand when you take every dollar and every dime you got and put it in the lust of the flesh and the desire of the world and never help the poor and never give to the gospel. God doesn't understand. God doesn't understand when you have that outlook to where you don't want to live holy and don't want to dress holy. And you just want to pass through and get you a big group of people to make a silly fuss over you because you're some pretty boy or movie star or some flashy dancing preacher. God doesn't understand. It's all a bunch of rot. The Bible said then it's rotten under the clods. It's all a bunch of rot. They're rotten under the clod. And every plant that my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be plucked up. There's a time to plant, there's a time to pluck up. Now this morning we're plucking up a little. Maybe tonight we'll be planting. All right. I love you, and I want to help you. I've told you the truth. The blood is off of my hands. I've told you the truth many times, yet some of you still falling. You're wandering stars, fallen stars. Say, "Ah, Brother Pike, wait till it happens to you." I'll tell you what. I'll tell you right here while I'm in my sober, sound mind, should it ever happen, and I don't believe it will. God's grace has been sufficient. It's took me this far. It'll continue to take me on. But I'll tell you one thing. Should it ever happen to me, it's just exactly like I preached it from the book right here. Whether it's the preacher, whether it's the preacher's wife, whether it's the preacher's children, whether it's your family, my family, your loved ones, grandma, grandpa, whoever it is, the president or whatever, it's the same evil, filthy doings. And God hates evil. God will burn it with fire. God don't make allowance for nobody. So far he's kept me. I believe he will keep me because I believe his grace is sufficient. The writer said, you do these things that he enumerated, said, and you'll never fall. Hallelujah. But I tell you one thing, children of God, it don't make no difference who does it. It's wrong. That's what the problem is now. And I'm going to say this in closing. The preachers won't get up and preach. You know why they won't get up and preach? Because they know the first sermon is going to produce them a pair of shoes that they're going to have to wear themselves. Because when they say, don't do this and don't do that, and you're guilty of this, you're guilty of that, they keep trimming themselves up. Trimming themselves up. See, and they say, uh-oh, I done played it now. I can't run down to the beach now. Look what I done said. Half a dozen people be watching me. See, and when they say don't do this and don't do that, they know that that's putting them into a position to where they're going to have to live holy. So what they do like an old goat. They go around and leave themselves a gap to where they can squeeze out like a weasel going through a hole. I tell you, folks, it's a sad moment. You say, Brother Pike, it looks like everything is getting mighty strict. It is, folks. The rapture is at hand. God is getting all the burrs off because the rapture is at hand. The rapture is at hand. And sure as I stand in this, I wouldn't lie to you. God is my witness. I wouldn't lie to you. If I tell you something wrong, I do it ignorantly. But there's absolutely some people standing in my midst that has been going to church regularly here for years, that has been Christians that absolutely, as they say, Christian, that absolutely will not make the rapture. You're not going to make the translation. You don't have enough interest. Your spirit isn't strong enough towards spiritual things. Some of you got sarcastic attitudes about you. Some of you's got disgruntled attitudes. Some of them's got gossiping attitudes. Some fault-finding attitudes. Some that's tail-bearing attitudes. And it's just you know, it's just horrible. It's horrible. Some covetous attitudes, some lustful attitudes. God is trying to get you ready for the rapture. You need to really stop. Think. You're not going to make the rapture. I tell you, this is a strong, strong, serious thing. Did you know that? It's going to take moving up in God to make the rapture. You're going to have to think right. You have to think right. Your thoughts have got to be right. Bring in every thought into subjection to Christ, to the obedience of Christ. Your thoughts have got to be right. I keep dealing with your thoughts. You know, the world out there ain't never, so the church world ain't even got down to dealing with people's deeds, of trying to make them straighten their deeds up, let alone got over to the other dimension, which is thoughts. But here at Bethlehem, we didn't come to the place to where it's rapture time. And we've been dealing with your thoughts for a long time, your spirit. You've got to get every thought straightened out. The Bible said bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ. David said even to the intent of the heart. Make sure your thoughts are holy. Make sure your thoughts are virtuous. Make sure your thoughts are pure. We've got people here that you go your way, and the Bible said you're like a man or a woman looking in a mirror. Time you go your way, you forget what manner of person you are. I believe I got some black women here that really love God. And I got some black women here that's playing the hypocrite. One of these days, God's going to set their fields on fire like you set a forest on fire. I mean, them black women are playing the hypocrite. And God's going to rend you just like a bull turned loose in a china shop, if somebody has used the term. Beware ye that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces. All nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. Even the prophecy said that this morning. God is doing something. The other night, Friday night, the Holy Ghost fell. Folks, there was no make-believe about it. I don't know how you felt, but I know him when he comes. He was real genuine. He walked into little Bethlehem. And God walked into where I could minister to you individually. And I would have called you up here and ministered to you individually. And there had been some great things that had come about. But I had made a commitment that day to let Brother Wiley preach whenever it was that the Spirit fell. I usually don't make no commitment to nobody because it always gets in my way. I usually just wait till the service when the Lord moves and I just go ahead and call somebody up. But it got in my way because there it was. The Spirit of God wasn't wanting that. And I knew when I asked him, the Spirit of God wasn't wanting it, but I didn't want to hurt the man. I didn't want to hurt the Spirit of God. And I thought, Lord, maybe you'll suffer it. I've had it happen so many times. And he was out there and I thought, God, what can I do? If I start ministering to the people, he isn't going to understand. And I just prayed that God would minister to you and help you. Well, I tell you, you can't imagine the complex of the ministry, the true ministry. Satan is working to bind their hands and to hinder the Holy Spirit on every hand. The Bible said the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. They got ministers across the land. They've got so much zeal and don't know where they're going and don't know what they're doing and won't take time to find out. Israel, great Israel, the people of God, had fasted long, done without, all kind of things. And the Bible taught that they didn't even know what they were doing, just in the way of God all the time, even with their fasting. He said, I'm sick of your fasting, sick of your solemn assemblies, sick of your feasts. Oh, let's lift our hands together. Let's love Jesus. Folks, it's getting close to the rapture. I'm not trying to discourage you in your zeal for God. Some of you have got a zeal for God. God bless you. I'm so glad. I wish the others had a zeal for God. I do. I wish you had a zeal for God. It's wonderful that you got a zeal for God. But the Bible said Israel had a zeal without knowledge, and the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. Get the knowledge of God, that your zeal won't get in the way of God, but that you can flow with the stream of God and be a great prophet of God, great leader of God. You know, you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you get a prophet's reward. But if you just receive a man as a man or a preacher as a preacher, that's all you're going to get. Your fellowship with him, just be a brother, just be a friend, just be a neighbor. You ain't going to get the reward of a prophet because you've never recognized that he is a prophet. You're not going to get it. But the day that you recognize that prophetical calling in that person's life, you say, my God, I want that. I want that. I know that it's there. Then you receive the reward of a prophet because you received him in the name of a prophet. You recognize the prophet's calling there. And oh, how wonderful it is. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? My, I felt the Holy Ghost fall. Then somebody lifted their faith up to God. As sure as you are in this building, you can't fool the Holy Ghost. Somebody then lifted their faith up to God because when you did, the Holy Ghost fell just like it did over there when the Bible said Peter spake unto them and the Holy Ghost fell on them. You said, but nobody didn't speak in tongues. You don't have to speak in tongues. I felt the Holy Ghost fall on you. Somebody's faith went up to God. They believed what I said. They believed what I said. And their faith went up to God and the Holy Ghost came down just like that. It pleased the Holy Ghost. The Bible said Enoch was translated because before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He pleased God. Are you pleasing God? Do you have the testimony, folks, that you're pleasing God? The Bible said without faith, it's impossible to please him. He was translated by faith that he should not see death. When you believe, you're being translated from glory to glory, glory to glory. How wonderful. How wonderful. Somebody said, well, I'm waiting for something great to happen. Great things happen all the time. Great things happen. I told David Paul the other night, I said, things happen around here. They never get a picture of it. Always waiting for something great to happen. Great things happening all the time. And they don't even see it. Somebody come in, go through a few little things. They get all kind of pictures every which way. And maybe sometimes ain't nothing happening. But they look on the outward appearance. They get excited. They get excited. All that we could understand. All that we could know. Just lift your hands up. Let's love the Lord. The Lord is translating His people. He's translating His people. From glory to glory. From faith to faith. From revelation to revelation. Understanding to understanding. God is changing us. We sang that song, the light, the glory of His unveiled face. The wonderful light of God that has shined in the face of Jesus. It'll change you, folks. It changed Moses. Jesus was illuminated with it, so it penetrated. It come from within. It penetrated till it come through the genes of Brother Branham, and his face glowed. Stephen's, it come through the face of Stephen's, and they beheld his face as an angel. It come through the face of Moses, and they couldn't look upon him. It come through the body of Jesus, and he was glistening white, penetrating from within. That great light moving through your blood genetics, translating you, changing you into that God image. That is the rapture. Yield to it. Love him. Be clean. Be holy. Get everything out. Purge out the old leaven. Be a new lump. Get everything out of your heart so it won't hinder that. There's a continual warfare between your body and spirit. Rid that old body of everything. Crucify. They that have belonged to the Lord, they've mortified the deeds of the body, the flesh, with the deeds thereof. See, mortify that old flesh. Don't try to put that old body up there, that old flesh up there. God isn't wanting that thing. It's in the image of the beast to begin with. We want to change into his image. The Bible said you don't know what he looks like because nobody's in his image yet. But when he appears, we know that we should be like him. For we shall see him as he is, and we'll be changed into his image as he's appearing. Man has fallen to that old beast image through Adam. That old ugly image of flesh and corruption. God hates it. He said, I'll despise your image in the morning if you don't get it changed into the image of the Son of God. I'll despise it because it's a bastard child. It's a beast image. It's the birth of the evil one, the natural birth. Let's love him. We've got to be born again to have his image, folks. Father of heaven, as we praise you this morning, I know that you're here. Precious Jesus, I know you, and I know you're wonderful, and I know you're here, I know you are, but oh Lord, I'd like for the others to know that you are. I'm so thankful because you care. Oh, Ramanda Ramashita Ramanda Rabasaya, Andala Malalasi, Talamanalan Yalabolo Sandaya, Yandala Mokalamashita Maranda Ramashina Morosai. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. I praise you, Jesus. Lord, bless your lovely people. Your people are so lovely, Father. They're so becoming, Lord, and righteousness becometh thy people. Lord God of heaven, move the leeches and the parasites. Move the diseases. Move the evil powers that would corrupt the image of Christ and destroy it. Lord, that it should die to be no more. But, oh, Lord, let the image of Christ live, Father. Though the outward man perish, Father, let the inward man live day by day. Let it grow stronger. Let the inward man live, Father. Let him swallow up the outer man. Even, Lord God, as the outer man swallowed up the inner man when Adam fell. May the inner man swallow up the outer man. And may his holy face come forth. Walk within thy temple. Feel thy temple, Father. Feel thy temple with good things, with health and with healing, with salvation, with peace, with joy, with jubilance. Bless thy temple with prosperity. Bless thy people with prosperity. Let thy temple be a holy temple. Let it be adorned with loveliness. Oh, let it be graceful, Father. even as the temples that we see along the way, Father, with the steeples reaching up to heaven. May their faith reach up to heaven, and may they be a lovely cathedral for God. Oh, meet with us, Jesus. May there be lovely chimes of praises from within. Oh, God, may there be a glorious atmosphere, Lord, round and about us. Be with us, O God of heaven. Help us heal and save and forgive. Oh, grant it, Jesus. Grant it, Jesus. Grant it, Jesus. Hallelujah. While we're worshiping the Lord, let's sing this little chorus together. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For my rest is complete while I sit at your feet. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. You know, the Lord loves you this morning, and the Lord wants to help you. There's a man here this morning, you're having problems with your wife. I picked this up a number of times when the Spirit was moving. You're having trouble with your wife, and you can't understand why she won't subject herself to you. Why she don't honor you and admire you. But your spirit comes in such a way, your soul, you're so out of sorts. Your disposition is so out of sorts. So cast down, so despondent. In a mumbling, fault-finding sort of a way, that it's a wonder that you haven't crushed her. It's a wonder if she isn't crushed. For a woman to love a man, she's got to find some strength. She's got to find some help. You know, you can rebuke a woman. You have to. You have to reprove them. Sometimes you have to say cutting sharp things to them. The Bible speaks of the minister rebuking sharply. You have to rebuke people very sharply that others might see. It said rebuke them openly that others might see and fear. But still, you got to remember that you're her strength. You're her strength. And if you're going to have that kind of disposition, I don't mean because you're burdened for God, because you're undergoing something for God. A real woman of God understands pressure when you're under pressure for God. They understand that. And they'll go along with you. But I'm for no reason, just an old... You know what? You could have a happy home if you'd change that. If you'd change that, you'd have a happy home. My, what a home you'd have. And your wife would think you was the grandest thing in the world. Now you say, well, I don't believe that. I'll tell you what. I challenge you to try it this morning and see. Say, well, don't know who you're talking about. Yes, you do. When I describe a condition, you know whether or not that's your condition. That's like a person comes in, if they resent me and find fault with me, I know it because I discern it. They don't discern it because they don't have any discernment, but they know it because they're guilty. They know what they're thinking, and they know they're wrong. See, and you know, when I say up here, don't call you out to keep from embarrassing you, but yet I want to help you. You know, I know who you are too. But I tell you what, if you will take what I'm telling you, your wife would love you as sure as you live. It's evident in her spirit that she'd love you and she'd think you was the grandest thing. As a matter of fact, at one time she did. But you know, a person can just get sour. I mean, they can just plain turn sour. And I know when I say this, some of you husbands better get ready, because just as sure as you do something wrong, they'll be coming. They'll say, yep. You heard what Brother Pike said, or I may even get some of practice what you preach. I do sometimes. But nevertheless, I'm speaking to somebody this morning that needs this. They can save their home. As a matter of fact, it's a serious thing. That's why I speak of it. You're going to lose your wife. Sooner or later, you're going to lose her. She's going to leave you unless you do something about it. There ain't but one thing is keeping her with you now, and that's not because of her admiration for you. It's because she's afraid of God. She's afraid of God. But she'll push over it sooner or later, and Satan will get a hold of her, and she'll leave you. But if you'll do something, you can save your home, and you can have a real home. You know, I wish the Spirit of God was moving here every night the way it was. I believe it was Friday night. When the Spirit of God come down like that, there just ain't nothing hid. How beautiful, how wonderful. The hearts of people are just made known, just like you would open a book and look at it. But here, the devil, he sees to it. He squeezes and he pushes and he keeps an old hypocrite or two around, and he does everything they can to suppress and keep some of you just on a borderline to where you won't give in because you're afraid that something will be revealed in your life. So you don't get too much in the Spirit. You don't want it to move too much. You'd rather just have a little moving of Spirit and come to the altar and pray and let that be it. You'd rather not give in too much because you're afraid something will come out. The Lord loves you. The Lord loves you. Some of it comes out anyway. I don't say anything to you about it, but it comes out. Sometimes I say something to somebody else about it that I can confide in, not to undermine you, but to let them know your condition, just like one physician would discuss it with another physician in confidence. It comes out anyway. But you could get in condition to where you could receive some things that would be good for you, real good for you. You know, if I had anything in my life, I'd want to get it out. I would. I'd want to get it out. I wouldn't want it to stay in my life. I'd rather get it out. Brother, there ain't no need to hide it no way, because the Bible said there's nothing done in the dark. It ain't going to come to the light. That great light is approaching earth. He's the great light. And that great light is gradually approaching the earth more and more. And as it comes down, it's going to unveil every dark thing there is, and everything's going to be seen anyway. And you that are Christians, you're going to move more and more into that light. And the more you move, every spot's going to show until there ain't no more spots left, and you're just going to go right on into it. And all the others that's got all them spots and blemishes, they're going to, gross darkness is going to cover them more and more. They're going to back off more and more, withdraw more and more. So you better move forward instead of backing up. You better move forward. I'll tell you what it'll do. It'll destroy your natural life. You'll get to where you'll see the corruption in your wife and your children and your friends and your neighbors, in the ones that you associate with. But I'll tell you what, it'll bring a God on the inside, and it'll bring a life on the inside from that heavenly world that'll make up for the loss of that natural. As you lose out in that natural, he'll restore it with that spiritual. But if you don't want the real, genuine thing, and you don't want to go down the trail of heartaches, then back off from it. Just stay away from it, because you've got to pass through that light, and you've got to be purged, and you've got to be cleansed, and you've got to go through the filter to get it all out of you. You're going to have to do it. You're going to have to do it if you want to get into the kingdom. But if you don't want any part of it, just back off. You won't. The Lord won't bother you. You can enjoy sin for a season. Everything will go well with you. And then after a while, God will cut you off quick, and that'll be the end of you. You'll go down to the pit quick. We're not children of darkness, but children of light, that day should come upon us unaware. I'm going to let you go in a few minutes. I know some of us have to get to the cafe. I know that. I enjoy going myself if it's in the right place. But we sure have gotten a rut about our bellies. We've gotten a rut about our bellies. You know, some people's belly's the biggest thing about them because they feed it more than anything else. If we fed our soul as much as we feed our bellies, it would get bigger too. You love Jesus, lift your hands up and love Him. Father of heaven, we fear Thee this morning. We reverence Thee this morning. We don't want to weary the people this morning, neither do we want to do anything hastily. Father, and be foolish and be sorry. And I know the people can bear with us, Father, till You've finished. I know they can. They don't have anything important to do, Father, that's more important than taking a little time at Your house. I don't want to weary them, Father, with 1 minute, but what You're in it. Satan will wear out the saints of God, but then the saints of God shall rise and take the kingdom.